Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Unnukkut angnai angatillu. I'll give you one more minute. We have a bit of technical difficulties. We had attendee was become sick, so we're going to wait for a little bit. We'll start in a bit. I know it's 6 o'clock, but we'll start.
Recording in progress.
Hey, Mom.
She's joined there. She's just joined.
Hello. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Unnukkut angnai angatillu. Good evening, Deputy Mayor Smith online. Thank you for being online tonight. Khoyanamik. Unnuk manna. Nunai poyai ekharungni katimai killuta. Nasa tingin number five. Ulimi March 25, 2025. Manna angat tau nak takan itu cuma lepak aku kat meja tak setini kayu setau nengi kat meja tak sayi tak kuat nunai poye kat meja nengi kat meja nengi nasau tinggu aku kat meja tu bini ulung ni March 11, 2025 pergi aku tahu yang ni. Oh, mana?
I'm sorry.
Thank you. Tapuna kagasawaya tigut dan unik karena tekun nukta kwa laluna itu nukka dan napi juta itu katima juta ksaid anyak tawya gaji
katima isha katima isha tuka ipiya apakuti ksaid pukhaus ksaid questions, comments to the motion
pitakang imat na masakta.
That are in favor.
Deputy Mayor Smith.
All the people in the chamber are in favor. Also,
May you
the minutes that I outlined, there has to be a mover.
Seconded by Councillor Shepherd. Katimiji Shepherd.
Councillor Shepherd.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I have to declare for 9A and the first recommendation from the Planning and Development Committee, PD 2506, just due to work relationships with the proponents.
Katimiji Shepherd, Katimiji Stevenson.
Thank you, Councillor
Shepherd. I also have a conflict with 9A.
Who Me Katimi Stevenson, Chinelo.
Thank you, Councillor Stevenson. Anybody else?
Aqua Mahomati, Aturo Nakatu Nail Amy.
There's two members that have
Chibumuya Padiello
of interest and moving forward.
Item number three,
delegations.
Kareshi Kuninga Simayo Sergeant Vlaco Nikolovsky.
Detachment monthly reports, Sergeant Vlaco Nikolovsky. You can come up to the microphone. Come up and sit here and report.
The
floor is yours now.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. My name is Sergeant Zhivka Ivanova, and I'm here on behalf of FICALO at RCMP. The detachment commander, Staff Sergeant Gill, has been seconded to another unit, and I'm here to present the mayor's report for January and February on the FICALO at RCMP behalf. I would just like to go through some statistics for the months. In January, 994 calls for service, and we had 222 persons lodged in our cells. And about half of those calls involved alcohol, 482. In relation to the community based policing initiatives. Our members are attending the mentorship program at the local high school, the girls group, and they're also participating in soccer and coaching. They coach U18 hockey and they assist at the Jones School with helping with the kids with their hockey gear. And I know on their free time or when it's low volume call, they do spend some time at the school and engage with the youth. In terms of crime reduction initiatives, our general investigative section has been very active and very proactive. They executed two search warrants on two locations, and a large amount of cash, drugs, and firearms were seized. And as a result of those search warrant executions, there were two individuals charged with a total of 13 counts of different criminal code and controlled substances offenses. They were, you know, also including some firearms possession and storage, unsafe possession and storage of firearms. We also continue to do the walkthroughs through the local bars and just to serve as a deterrent for impaired operation. For the month of February, the statistics are pretty the same in terms of the call volume, 870. We did have a slightly smaller amount of prisoners in custody, 127, which is just about half. Our recruiting unit hosted an information booth at the career fair, and over the 2 days, Staff Sergeant Major Pauline Melanson provided information about policing and the application process for the RCMP. We're actually trying to engage and recruit people from here. Our GIS section worked on a couple of large fraud investigations, and one of them was actual multiple jurisdiction across the country, and it's for over $8 million in fraudulent funds being appropriated. They're also working on getting a, it's called a capture program for the city of Iqaluit. It already has been implemented and used in Alberta, but what it does is it will provide us with the locations where businesses can register with the program, and then it will give us, when you know, we're looking for some video surveillance or some intel, then we'll be able to know where there's surveillance available. They also have initiated the offender management program for the detachment and are closely monitoring prolific offenders because it is, in the past, there's been some, I guess, gaps in where people have not been monitored. So now we're actively monitoring prolific offenders to ensure that they're complying with their court-imposed conditions. We also are coming close to putting the hub program, the hub program is coming to being implemented. One of the last stages, I believe they're trying to get the memorandum of understanding between all the participating agencies, and our FNIPP unit told me that it's probably in May when it's going to come in place. We do also have already a few referrals that we're waiting for them to get going so we could make those referrals. In February, the Chief Superintendent Andrew Blackadar and Staff Sergeant Major Pauline Nelson also participated in a dinner with elders in the community. As the request of council, we also provided the spreadsheet or the table with the calls for service for different times of the week and times of the day, just for your reference. And I would be here to answer any questions that anyone might have.
When I make Sergeant Nikolovski.
Thank you, Sergeant Nikolovski. Any questions? Councillor Natak?
Yeah,
thank you. It's not so related to the report. I will state three items that are important. The first one, I am sharing, it's not recent though. It's probably a year when I called the RCMP to come to my place, and when they came, I was asked, do you want to leave? It's what I was told, although I called for another person to be helped. And they just asked me if I want to leave the community. I don't want to hear that again. Even though we are asking for help from the RCMP, it feels like I was asked that if I want to go to another place. This is not recent. And the second one that I am sharing, on Sunday, someone came to ask for country food, and I thought they were just going to bring country food. I agreed that person can use the ATV, but it's damaged. And we didn't witness the person that crossed with the ATV whom had asked to come to my place and get country food, and I was told I will pay for the damages myself, although we are requesting for help, and this is what I have been told, and I am saying this even though this is life up there, and the third one, I have some numbers in my pocket. I don't have any parents or a policeman. If I call the president, Ottawa, I would have been able to report certain RCMP members that not serving like I expected, they can be removed. I'm just saying this right now, although I don't want to approach it that way. People that were in the hospital, and they got fired. Although I don't want to be negative, but there's been numerous times. And I know because of the poor service, the sergeants, and I was asked, or constables.
I don't want to be negative, but
you are here in Iqaluit for us, to help us, Iqaluit residents, and if you continue
negative,
I'd be able to report certain RCMPs and they can get fired. I haven't seen any reports of those that I mentioned, although this is not a question, Mayor. I am sharing this. People listening out there and CBC, unfortunately, I reveal this. I have to disclose this. I don't have any
trust
or any RCMP, because I have that, I've been given that, authority. This might be a bit alarming and scary, and I don't want to keep firing or getting people or employed people in this field
removed.
Unfortunately, I am reporting this. This is what I have to say to you. If you are able to answer, and I can also say something else. I'm sorry. Thank you, Councillor Natkunuk. Do you still have something to say?
I am very sorry to hear that and the experience that you've had. I can assure you that every single one of us is here to serve you and protect, and we work at a, we strive to, you know, do excellent in our service to your community. I can't comment. I don't have any details, but I could tell you that there is processes for that. And if you wish to come and you know, discuss that further, my door for sure is always open, and there's definitely processes for that. I don't have anything to add here.
Thank you. Kuyanami, Kinalu.
Thank you. Anybody else?
Okay. Kuyanami, Kakawabi.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming.
I'm Takwa Kataba Yotik Shakin Shimu Yaruta.
On our agenda.
I'm starting for Pitakangi.
Committee report section 5. Committee reports number 5.
Kajimi Yitali.
Dear Iqaluit, I speak to you today not just as a counselor, but as a person who has faced struggle stood at a crossroads and made the choice to fight for my future. Over the past months, I've taken important steps to address my own mental health, trauma, and PTSD, as well as confronting and overcoming challenges related to alcohol and addiction. This journey has been deeply personal, transformative, and healing. I share this openly because I believe leadership involves vulnerability, honesty, and accountability. By acknowledging and treating these struggles, I've gained an understanding of resilience, compassion, and strength, qualities I believe are essential in serving our community. Mental health and addiction issues are not weaknesses. They are human experiences that many in our community silently face. But today, I stand in the light. I stand as proof that change is possible. Healing is possible. Strength is possible. And if my journey can inspire even one person to take that first step, to reach out, to believe that there is hope, then every struggle has been worth it. I want everyone facing similar challenges to know you are not alone. Recovery is possible, and seeking help is an act of courage and strength. Let us come together as a community, remove stigmas, support one another, and build a healthier, more compassionate city for everyone. Thank you for allowing me the privilege to serve you. I return to this role healthier, stronger, and more dedicated than ever to the well-being of our entire community. Kuyanamik, Nakumik, and thank you.
Thank you. I'd like to have a plot.
Thank you, Councilor Duni, for a very good statement, and everything you said was very true. Councilor Mitab. Thank you. I say thank you to my colleague. I'd like to say that in May, I'm planning to go to the burial site for healing sessions, and they asked me if I wanted to come, and I agreed, so I'll be going to somewhere in Hamilton, and we'll be going down by charter, and these are people that died at the TB sanatoriums, and their family went through great hardship. So the families are going to go do some healing down there. And I really thank my colleague for saying what he's saying. And we expect that you'll be able to rise up again. Because when we want to fix our lives, we can. And the only way to do it is to start admitting some of the things that we did, that we created. And it's kind of similar. In May, we'll be doing healing sessions very similar to that on behalf of the survivors and the families left over. That's what I wanted to say. Thank you. Councilor Natak. And Councilor Agluka.
Matna.
Thank you.
Good evening, Councilor Nerlumiut. My statement tonight will be directed to my colleague, Councilor Tilly. Sam, I remember we briefly met in our earlier years in Opet. And I am grateful to have known you through high school and our young adult life. I want to extend my heartfelt congratulations to you for completing your treatment and following through with your plan. This is an extraordinary achievement, and it's a testament to your dedication, resilience, and strength. As an Inuk man, your journey is not just personal, it's powerful and inspiring for everyone who is watching. You've shown the kind of strength that comes from deep within, drawing on both your cultural roots and your commitment to healing. By walking this path, you are paving the way for others in our community to take a step forward in their own healing journeys. Your courage to take action and your ability to stay committed are qualities that will resonate with many who may have felt unsure or alone in their struggles. You have demonstrated that true healing is possible, and in doing so, you are leading by example. Your story serves as a beacon of hope, showing others that recovery is not only achievable, but it's also a path that can be walked with strength, dignity, and pride. Congratulations again on your incredible achievement. Your journey is one that will inspire others to take their first steps towards healing, just as you have done. I'm so proud of you and look forward to continuing to work alongside you and all the things that you will continue to succeed.
Thank you,
Councillor Glukka.
Now,
maybe I should explain. Last year, I was in Edmonton, and when I was coming back from there, I had to go to another meeting in another country as mayor of the city, and that place I went to
had to do with
alcohol and addictions. And I attended that meeting there.
And
it was a great meeting. And all the things that we say out here, before we actually started to heal, the things that we go through cannot change unless we decide to rise up and change them. It's up to us. We have to take the initiative to speak up, and we can move forward if we do that. And that's how I look at it and how it should be looked at. So I want to address that a little bit. And the things that we talked about at that meeting. We're still on councillor statements. There's no more. Let's proceed. Item number 7. My apologies, Councillor Shepherd.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. It's not really a statement. I was just hoping to make a quick motion to amend the agenda to move item 9A to right now. Deputy Mayor joined us, really not feeling well tonight. Just so that we can maintain quorum for 9A. Finally, I wonder if we could just deal with that item now before we move on to potentially some longer bylaw discussions. So I'd like to make that motion.
Seconded by Councillor Shepherd. Any questions? All in favor? Unanimous, thank you. Moving to 9A. Request for decision development permit application 24-051. Approval of build blasting and site work. We're going to have Matthew Todd to explain to us before we move to motion. Matthew?
Thank you, Mayor Awa, and thank you, Council, for being here tonight. As mentioned, this item has made its way through several meetings, not achieving quorum, so I'm glad to be presenting this one. The proposal is from Kikiktani Inuit Association in developing a parcel of land. Just if you're looking at the Oxarnet Hotel, it's to the left of the hotel. Currently, we have not received drawings of a potential building or street network. The proposal at this stage is to blast the existing rock outcrop slash hill that currently exists to make room for future development. The area that is being blasted is depicted in the attachments. Staff, I have identified benefits and challenges. We understand that Kikiktani Inuit Association is interested in developing their Inuit-owned land. This is Inuit-owned land being proposed. So this proposal prepares such land for future development and growth. Some challenges that we identified is it is a significant and permanent alteration to the natural landscape. And generally, City Council's general plan in developing new subdivisions considers the protection of natural features such as prominent rock bluffs, tundra, and watercourses. However, due to the long-term plans of Kikiktani Inuit Association in developing Parcel E, the Inuit-owned land parcel, staff are able to support this proposal. So the recommendation is that Council approve development permit application 24051. If there's any questions, happy to answer them. Thank you.
My name is Matthew.
Thank you, Matthew.
Comment? Being none, I need a mover or seconder. Moved by Councillor Tilley, seconded by Councillor Aglukkaq. Are there any question, comment to the motion? Being none, all in favor? Three in the House, and Councillor Deputy Mayor Smith. In favor? Okay, motion carried, thank you. Now we can go bring those councillors back in. Deputy Mayor Smith, if you want to stay, you can stay, but not necessarily need to stay. Wish to have a quorum in the House. I didn't hear you.
I'll be leaving now, but thank you. Have a good evening, everyone.
Have a good evening. And thank you. Councillor Shepherd for moving the agenda up and moving right along. Now going to 7 bylaw, first reading bylaw number 1004, cabin licensing amendment to general plan bylaw 898. Need a mover seconder. Moved by Councillor Shepherd, seconded by Councillor Kelly. No question on the first reading. All in favor? Unanimous, thank you. I'm going to switch my to back to Inuktitut. 7A2 Malagala Nashawti 1005 Gilwalara no Lashalaganamun
7A2 bylaw number 1005
Malagala Nashawti 899 GBA 25.001.
You have to tell you about it. There has to be a
mobile
for that.
Katimay Telepi after Tiyo.
Katimay
Stevens, Telepi Jimmy.
Second,
25.001, be after the other. Be after the Yukatimitili, I presume Yukatimia Zuka. I'm going to see what the Palmic Madagala, what I'm after to do with
the first reading.
Bylaws,
there's no questions. Those in favor? Three in favor?
All in favor.
Thank you.
Mr. Manigala, Civil Department, Okalama, Towning and Nashautinga, 1014, Nerut, T. Zerin, Manigala, Yaki Tari Radi.
14, procurement by law.
Yaki Tari Katimini Nata, Epertawa, Katimini Shepherd, Epio, the Venice Civil Department, Manigala, Okalama, Towning and Apostle Shakaun,
and Namakshap. First reading. Those in favor?
All in favor?
Thank you. And it's carried.
And
7B1.
Madagala Nash, 1014. Ne wo ti lagan ng mga nagagalap ng yata talaga ay
pagtanggol
ng tubo. Kasi may sipag piyata tiyo kasi may chile ay piyo. Tapos na ay pagkutik siya ito kasi siya.
Councilor Tilly, questions or comments?
Kasi may Tilly.
Councilor Tilly.
Nakumi Mayor Awa. First of all, overall the bylaw is already quite robust and well structured. Just a few things that I want to clarify and possibly change the wording on some sections of the bylaw. First, I got quite a few pages, so try to stay along with me here. So first, I'd like to clarify best value versus lowest combined bid. The section shows two different criteria. Sometimes the bylaw emphasizes lowest cost and other times best value. I would suggest include language on how to reconcile situations where the low cost isn't necessarily in the city's best interest. Example, a project might benefit a more experienced contractor, even if it's slightly more expensive. Got to word something in there that this won't be abused, hopefully. Somewhere where we won't have administration or somebody in administration to do a workaround. And I found section 6 there. The current wording says, in the absence of specific criteria in the call document, the award will generally be made to the bid that provides the lowest compliant bid. My suggestion revision of that would be, awards shall be made based on the evaluation criteria set out in the call document. Where the city issues a request for tenders, the award shall be based on the lowest compliant bid. Where the city issues a request for proposals, the award shall be based on best value. In all cases, evaluation criteria must be defined and disclosed prior to solicitation. On top of that, I don't know if you want to, where I stop and you comment, up to you.
We're going to make Katimi Tilly. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you for the question, Councilor Tilly, and welcome back. Okay, so to talk about best value, we wanted to get away from, and your example, I think, illustrated that quite well, away from simply just picking the lowest bid. The best value was a concept trying to incorporate, quality of experience and not necessarily just the lowest price, because you may not always get the best results. So we didn't want to be held to just the lowest cost, and to have some discretion or flexibility in order to evaluate the proposal on several different variables and pick what we felt, based on those metrics, would be the best value for the city. Obviously, we hope it's not going to be abused. I mean, the idea would be to set those metrics in the call order or in the evaluation documents, and then that process is documented. It may not be shared with the public, but it is reviewed internally, and further along, you see that we have included a purchasing advisory committee, which reviews some of the bigger ticket items collectively. So there is a fair bit of oversight. So one person, or we're not going to see someone go rogue necessarily. It's going to be collective decisions and consensus based on some of those criteria. Your point about lowest compliant bid, fair. And we'll revisit that just to make sure that that's consistent with the intent. And it may just have escaped us because, again, we're looking at trying to get away from just the lowest bid. And there's a little bit of back and forth there in everyone's mind as we're going through that, so that may have been an oversight. So good catch for that. Thank you. And I'm happy to go back and forth as much as you want, for as long as you want. Just let me know how you want to do it. Okay? Thanks.
William McPeter, I kind of forgot your name for a second. I have to ask this guy. Councillor Tilly.
Nakomi Mayor, I'll try to do my best to go along. As I had quite a few. They're more, I believe, more of housekeeping items, but I'll go along with what I have here. This may need to go in the bylaw. It may need to. It's just something for you, for administration to think about, is standardized evaluation criteria and processes. For requests for tenders, RFT, and requests for proposals, RFP, the bylaw lists broad guidelines but does not specify how bids will be scored or weighed. Especially for requests for proposals, which may use multiple evaluations. Why I bring this up, maybe the bylaw can include build an evaluation and award section into each procurement method. Like your request for quotations, request for tenders, and request for proposals. That's one option that we can put into the bylaw. On here, these are all standard practices in our procurement world, but elaborate on vendor performances and debriefing. So the issue I have, the bylaw references awarding contracts, but does not mention vendor performance monitoring and debriefing to unsuccessful bidders. See this as having a formal vendor performance and post-bid debriefing process can lead to better outcome, reduce disputes, and encourage continuous improvement among suppliers. This may be already a standard practice in what you guys do. It's just we don't see it and we don't see it, but we may want to introduce a supplier performance evaluation protocol. For instance, if a supplier repeatedly fails to perform, the city may disqualify them for a period. Also include guidance on how bidders can request debrief. This enhances transparency and reduces potential complaints. I'll stop right there if you want to answer some of these.
We'll make getting me.
Thank you, Councillor Tilly.
Peter.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you, Councillor Tilly. Okay, that's those are some good comments. So the idea about a standardized process for the evaluation, for some things that could be possible, like for tenders, like purchasing a sewer truck, as long as you meet the specs, tick, 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 that can be standardized. But again, even with tenders, it's going to be specific to the item that you're trying to get. With proposals, as you know, people come up with all kinds of different ideas on how to solve a problem. And other than in a very general way, these kinds of evaluations have to be project specific. So if you're evaluating building a building, then there's certain evaluation criteria that would be appropriate, but may not necessarily be appropriate for building a dam or something along those lines. There may be variation. So beyond sort of a general sense, it would be difficult to try and prescribe all of the ways that you would have to record them. But that doesn't mean that there can't be more fleshed out guidelines, whether it's a protocol or more guidance or guidelines that go along with this, where the bylaw itself is more of the policy and the overview on how the process works, where the administration, not to quote yes minister, but the policy of administration versus administration policy, where you have those kinds of guidelines and procedures in more detail, so like as a working guidebook or something for the people in the procurement that actually are doing the work. So I can see that as more of a procedural thing. Debriefs are always a good idea, for sure. That's one way to, for unsuccessful bidders to be better prepared for the next time. Performance, certainly agree that evaluation performance should be a factor ongoing when considering bids. So, but I think perhaps if not the bylaw, they certainly could be as part of an administration process. Thank you.
May I meet Peter?
Thank you, Peter.
Could you meet Tilly?
Councillor Tilly.
Oh. Councillor Sutton?
Oh,
me? Okay, hold on. All right, next thing I have here is we need to strengthen the conflict of interest provisions. The issue that I've seen is the bylaw prohibits, touching up that section, is the bylaw prohibits awarding contracts to employees or council members or their families without disclosure, but enforcement and monitoring process could be more explicit. Why it matters is a clear process reduces the risk of real or perceived conflicts. The suggestions I have is to clarify steps the city takes if a conflict is discovered. Example, remove the conflicted individual from the entire procurement process or possibly terminate the contract if conflict is severe. I think we can add that into the bylaw. Maybe I'm not quite sure. Maybe we could clarify on that front. But I have another one here where we need to address contract extensions and amendments more explicitly. There's a mention of contingencies, scope changes, and added 25% for contingency. But it can be unclear when contract extensions or renewal is permissible before it must be retendered. Why I brought that up, it's large changes or repeated extensions can circumvent proper competition. Couple suggestions I put down here is define material scope change and minor amendments. Provide a maximum extension limit or requirement that any major extensions be retendered if changes the original scope significantly. Add a formal sign-off process for renewals and expansions detailing who authorizes them and any new budget approvals needed. On top of that, the city should reflect local and territorial procurement policies more directly. Since the city of Iqaluit is subject to Nunavut legislation and potentially the NNI policy, the bylaw does not explicitly address how to comply with it or integrate local Inuit preference. If the municipality must adhere to specific territorial procurement rules, referencing them in the bylaw or setting an alignment strategy ensures consistency and legality. My suggestion would be to cross-reference all Nunavut statutes, guidelines, or policies. I'll stop there for now for anyone else to chime in.
Could you meet Tilly, Peter?
Councillor Tilly, Peter.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you, Councillor Tilly. So, strengthen the conflict of interest. Sure, we can look at that. If you have specific suggestions, feel free to just email them to us. And I mean, I'm not going to write down, and I couldn't write down everything you need, every word you just said. But if you have specific language, we can look at see if that can incorporate it or not. Significant changes and changes in scope. So what we had tried to express here was any changes that exceeded 25%, and we couldn't approve changes that exceeded 25% of a contract value. So I think that's your hard line that you were. So once that happens, then you can't do anything else with it, and either you have to retender it or bring it back to council for reapprovals or some other mechanism. This is once the contract's awarded, the contract administration can allow for up to that amount, but then that is a hard line that's right in the byline. You can't get past it. And so if that's not good enough, then we would have to consider what other mechanism would be acceptable. And then for the NNI policy, so we're subject to the Cities, Towns, and Villages Act. We're not subject to the NNI policy. That is a government policy, and it's not applicable to the municipality. So we did reference some of the acts and just made sure that we didn't have to comply. So with respect to local local preference, there is parts in the procurement act that do talk about local business, and but again, because like the GN, we're a public government, we focus on the locality as opposed to whether it's Inuit owned or not Inuit owned. I mean, the preference is we would love to have both, but in a lot of ways, it's they're local businesses within the city. They have a business license. They're the bricks and mortars. They have that. This is where they're based. They should have preference over people outside of the city, kind of thing. And that's how we've approached that. We haven't gotten too far in the details, though. We do have, we do look at if it's Inuit owned or not. And that is one of those options, and Inuit labor as well is often a consideration for these evaluations. Thank you.
My name is Peter. Could you meet Shepherd?
Thank you, Peter. Councillor Shepherd.
Hey, Mr. Mayor. Colleague brings up a lot of good points in an item that he has more experience with than most of us at this room, so I definitely appreciate it. A lot of the points that have been brought up can be dealt with outside of the bylaw by way of procedure or policy, the way Peter kind of mentioned earlier, and I'd definitely be confident that most of it can be dealt with outside of the actual bylaw itself. Definitely valid points. The one thing I do like is incorporating that best value concept into this, where we can, rely on administration and at times council as when items come before us to award contracts that provide best value, whether that is local content, pushing one proponent over another, or for other means, awarding to a contract to another vendor because of poor performance from a prior experience with another bidding on the same project. So I like the flexibility that this provides, as well as the framework for alleviating some of the council burden on procurement. And we're doing our governance role here in setting budgets. We need to give administration the flexibility to operate within those budgets that we set, and I think this is a really good and strong foundation, and stronger foundation than the one we had in previous versions of procurement bylaws that we've used. There are, concepts of adhering to codes of ethics that are in this. When we think of conflicts, I think that's well addressed in the document here. Whether it's, if there's a conflict of some sort on the vendor side, kind of brings us back to the best value aspect, where we have the flexibility to not choose the, necessarily the cheapest option in future. I kind of went through this with a fine-tooth comb a few times over the last few days, and I don't have any pressing points to make suggested changes at this point in time. The document, if I'm not mistaken, has had legal review already before coming to us. So, as it is, it's something that I'm comfortable with, which in no way takes anything away from the points that have been raised here, which are important items that I think we can be dealt with via procedures or policies within administration going forward.
Councillor Stevenson.
Thank you. I don't have any great detail to add. I do on page 7,
competitive bidding, it references Schedule C, but I don't think there's a Schedule C. Well, there's no Schedule A, B, or C as far as I could tell. I think it's probably just an early draft leave-in, but maybe I missed something. And then in general provisions, number 6 on page 9, no, I guess page 10. No. I'm just worried about, I guess, about funding streams from the federal government, large funding streams from the federal government where they have procurement restrictions placed on the funds that supersede ours and whether that's expressed in here. I read it, and I think it's in these general provisions, number 6. But I just want to make sure that it's clear enough that we would need to defer sometimes to different procurement procedures if federal funding requires it.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Stevenson. Yeah, there's no Schedule C there. I think that's an oopsie. And I would like to respond to Kyle's comments as well, to Councillor Shepherd. This is an evolution. This document wasn't just magicked out of thin air. It was built on the foundations that had previously existed. Everyone in this room has had a crack at these procurement bylaws over the years and have looked at ways to improve them and make them a little bit better each time we get to them. And this one is, a vast majority of this is based on what the previous versions were, and then we've taken it, we think, a little bit forward and tried to bring in best practices to it. Definitely we'll look at that. But as far as the requirements under federal funding, so if the contract says no sole sourcing over 25,000 or something like that, qualified, then obviously we would have to, if it's more restricted, we would then follow those guidelines because we want their money. And if it's less restrictive, we would follow our whichever one is more advantageous to us. And less restrictive, we would follow our own bylaws because that's what it is. If it's more restrictive, we certainly could follow theirs as well with respect to sole sourcing or things like that for a lot of the federal funding agreements, because they can be pretty tight around some of those concepts. Thank you.
Queen McPeter.
Thank you, Peter.
Good to meet you, Tilly.
Councillor Tilly.
Another thing I'd like to bring up, maybe we can definitely try do this, is implement a former dispute resolution process. This bylaw doesn't clearly describe how to handle a formal supplier complaint or protest about procurement awards. Having a standard transparent process for addressing bidder grievances can prevent legal challenges and maintain fairness. I'd suggest add a section on bid dispute resolution or protest, including time limits for submitting protests, who reviews them, and how decisions are communicated. And when you look through the bylaws there, we should consider an independent, because we have a few things coming up in with the city. I thought about this and consider an independent fairness monitor for large value or high profile procurements, as mentioned in the bylaws general principles. It's great, but this is only optional and vague, and it lacks criteria. The fairness monitor, to my colleagues here, is an independent third-party observer. basically, and often a procurement consultant or legal expert who oversees significant or sensitive procurement processes to ensure they are fair, transparent. In my time as a procurement officer, a lot of these disputes end up in court, and if we can implement this process, we can possibly avoid going to the courts. Another thing that I wrote down here is consolidate thresholds into one clear section. Various thresholds appear throughout multiple sections. Examples are 3,000 for local purchase, 50,000 and 150,000 for codes, 500 plus thousand for council approval, etc. Putting all key thresholds, goods, services, construction, type of calls into a single reference table helps reduce confusion. And I would suggest create a brief threshold table early in the bylaw or as an appendix. Cross reference it in each relevant article instead of repeating or scattering references. I need a break for a second.
We're going to make it to me, Tilly. Peter.
Thank you, Councillor Tilly. Peter.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you, Councillor Tilly, for the questions. And so that provision about the monitor, the city may, if they feel it's necessary, appoint it. It's not a must, and it is in the bylaws. So we do have the ability to do that. So if we're looking at some of these bigger projects, maybe that is something that we would look into for sure. And there may be some guidance in some procedures that we could develop that would help that make that decision. And that would be something that council as well would probably be involved in, because these would be big ticket items, so that the council would have their opportunity to have input. It wouldn't necessarily be left to city administration to decide that, because again, we're talking about things that would require council approval, probably, if we're talking big ticket items, right? And then with respect to putting in tables, we did try to put in some of the tables to show the thresholds. And you're right, there's because of different procurement methods, I even tried to come up with my own to try and see if I, to just sort of flow. Like in the GN, you have your LCAs, and that's just go to the store with up to 5,000, you have those. Anything from 3 to 5, you can still do it directly. But you might between 50 and 150, you can still buy directly, but you might have to get invitational quotes, like up to three competitive bids to do that. And part of this is built around some of the signing authority bylaws, where different levels of administration and management have different signing authorities. So, for example, the SEDs, the senior executives, our limit's 150. So a lot of this can be managed at administration level. And then when you're talking about, and that's why the same thing with the standing offer agreements, like no call-up can be greater than 150,000, things like that, to try and keep that within those. So, but at the same time, the chief administrative officer and the mayor and council have, the council has the authority to do pretty much whatever they'd like to within the confines of our finances. The CAO has $500,000 in authority, so, the sole source requirements, let's say, they're different than your standard flows. So there's, like you said, there's probably several different ways. So a single table could get pretty dense and dirty looking in that, so we tried to make a table so this is this section where this is like your standard with bids, this is your standard without bids, and tried to structure it that way. If and perhaps maybe in the the guidelines or the procedures, a more formalized flow chart or something along these lines could be included to allow for the administration to be more clear. If they didn't want to read the language, they could certainly follow the flow charts. And again, that can be in administration guidelines and procedures, as opposed to necessarily being in the bylaw. But all that information is there. Like you say, it may not be crystal clear, but based on the reviews that we've had, it does make sense and is internally consistent. Thank you.
And then McPeter, cut to Mayor Shepherd.
Councilor Shepherd.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yeah. We all bring our experience from our outside activities to this room. It always makes it fun. One thing to keep in mind is that the city is governed by the CTV Act, the City, Towns, and Villages Act, more so than almost any other piece of legislation. So we just want to be careful that we're not burdening the city with requirements derived from legislation that applies to other bodies. We wouldn't want to take the government of Nunavut's procurement policies and responsibilities and carbon copy them into here by any means, because those are based on different laws and different acts that apply to it. So we want to make sure that we're not overcomplicating while still operating in a way that protects the city and leads to fair provision of contracts and work within the city. But it's just as a frame of reference to keep in mind the requirements placed on the city in the City's Towns and Villages Act is what needs to kind of inform our decision-making process in this and what we include in this bylaw. We don't want to, like I said, overcomplicate it. We don't want to, unnecessarily restrict our ability to be flexible and to respond, to issues as they arise in the community. So they're good things to keep in mind, but I'm not certain we need to go that, as deep as has been discussed here tonight. In all cases, and anything that is deemed relevant and meaningful, again, could quite often be dealt with in a policy outside the bylaw itself.
Can I make Councilor Shepherd?
Councilor Shepherd.
We have a motion. Katimi Telly.
I promise it's my last one. It's just minor edits and housekeeping on definition consistency. What I have here is purchase order, standing offer agreement, and local purchase order are partly overlapping. So I'll send you an email on, I believe, the way we can clarify all those three. They're all three different, but I'll send you an email and to my colleagues here to make these edits.
Wait a minute.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you, Councilor Tilley. Yes, please send us those definitions. And if there's anything else you do think of, because I know this is your bread and butter kind of stuff. So, pardon me?
Give it to you right now.
Oh, okay, perfect. That's even better. Thank you.
Quinnamik Peter, Katimay Stevenson.
Quinnamik Itivota. I guess I'd like to. Well, I think there's been enough suggested changes here that I'd like to see a revised bylaw before finishing second reading. So I'd make a motion to defer this decision until the revised bylaw was brought back to council.
We got a motion to defer. Seconded by Councillor Shepherd. Any questions? Councillor Stevenson.
Just as a matter of process, I think that the original motion will still stand later, so the movers and seconders would still be the same, because this is a motion within a motion. I think.
I'll figure that out later.
Yeah, Councillor, thank you, Councillor Stevenson. I was kind of trying to figure that out too in a moment. We had a motion to move that second reading of bylaw 1014 that we had to move by Shepherd, seconded by Telly. All those in favor? Three against?
Sorry, that was the original motion.
What?
You went back to the original motion.
So the original motion.
To my understanding, this was an amendment to the motion. Is this an amendment to the original motion?
My man, Councillor Stevenson, go ahead.
My understanding of process would be that this is a motion within a motion. So this the first motion would stay. It's still there. It would defer to another meeting. And when it came back, so when it comes to second reading, it'll still be Tilly and Shepherd that have moved and seconded the motion that was deferred by the second motion. So we would only need to vote on my motion, seconded by Shepherd at the moment. The other motion would stand until voted upon at a future meeting.
And Nick, Bria.
Thank you, Councillor Stevenson. I'm not 100% sure in terms of a motion standing to the next meeting. I think in terms of simplicity, it would be more straightforward if there was an amendment made to the original motion. That would be the most clear in terms of record keeping, and then we can revisit this item with the changes if somebody would like to move and second the amend or the revised edition of the bylaw at a future meeting. Thank you.
We're going to make Brianna, Councillor Stevenson.
Thank you, Councillor Stevenson.
I'm fine with that for process too. That would then go to, I think, Councillor Shepherd moved. He would have to decide to amend his motion to defer instead of approve.
We're going to make Councillor Stevenson. I think I should have mentioned that before I say that. All in favor? Okay. The first motion, I requested to amend the motion to defer this bylaw number 1014, moved by Councillor Shepherd, seconded by Councillor Kelly, if that's agreeable. Yeah? Okay. I see a nod. For that motion to defer this 1014, all those in favor? Motion carried. Queen of me. So, okay, moving along. We have nine done, number nine. We got 10. We got committee report. Taxi committee meeting number one, report dated March 13th. Councillor Shepherd.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. There was a discussion at the taxi review committee. Regarding the fares to be charged for the accessible vehicle for hire when it does come onto the road. We're not going to bring that motion forward to council tonight. There's some legal issues and other considerations involved that we kind of need to look at before that does come forward. At this point in time, the vehicle for hire bylaw stands and accessible rides will be at the standard rate. Along with all other rides in town. And it's my understanding that the accessible vehicle will be on the road very shortly, so I'm sure there's more information coming on that, but there won't be any motion brought forward from the committee today.
Thank you, Councillor Shepherd. Planning and Development Committee of the whole meeting, number two, where Deputy Mayor Smith is supposed to report, but I'm going to read three items that was passed. PD number 2506, committee recommend that council approve zoning bylaw amendment ZBA 2502. Need a motion to and second. Moved by Tilly, seconded by Councillor Shepherd. Stevenson. You both have S name. I just want to say that. Seconded by Councillor Stevenson. Any question, comment? Being none, all in favor? Or an abstain? No conflict. Okay. Motion carried. PD 25-07, committee recommends that council give first, second, and third reading to the land acquisition bylaw draft by attachment 2. And also number 2, give first, second, and third reading to the land disposal bylaw as drafted in attachment 3. The motion, Shepherd. Councillor Gluckup. Question, comments? Being none, all in favor? Unanimous, thank you. PD 25-08, committee recommend that council approve the transfer of lot 10, group 1087 plan 1221 to the city at the nominal fee of $1 from the federal government. First, give the second and third reading to the land acquisition bylaw as drafted in attachment 2. Need a move, seconder. Moved by Councillor Shepherd, seconded by Councillor Stevenson. Comments and questions? Being none, all in favor? Unanimous, thank you. Number 11, correspondence. Inuit Heritage Trust, Elizabeth Robertson, on behalf of Adventure Canada, archaeology, tourism, and permit application. Need a mover, seconder? Moved by Councillor Tilley, seconded by Councillor Shepherd. Question to the motion? Being none, all in favor? Unanimous, thank you. Correspondent 11B, Nunavut Research Institute, Ritish Booth, University of Ottawa, Ottawa Hospital Health Research Application. Need a mover, seconder? Moved by Councillor Tilley. Seconded by Councillor Shepherd. Any questions, comments? Being none, all in favor? Unanimous, thank you. We've got no in-camera session, now the 13 adjournment. Moved by Councillor Tilley, seconded by Councillor Shepherd. No question. All in favor? Unanimous, thank you. Andrew Diala, should I mention to you earlier, right in the beginning? And Lydia Hetzog for interpreting for us today. Thank you, everyone. Have a good evening.